Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The rug was pulled out from underneath her. She didn't feel confident. She didn't know if she could make it. Yet she rose like the phoenix, leading herself and her family into a new beginning. And you can too. Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show Lady Boss knows what women want. To be free to speak their voice, live in financial freedom, and build businesses that radiate wealth, leaving legacies we can be proud of. Join Cornelia, Dana, and Chris the first and fourth Friday every month as they raise the roof to inspire confidence in all women.
Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We have a very special, exciting show today because today is the launch of the new Lady Boss Show. And I'm so excited to introduce you to my extraordinary co-host, Miss Chrissy D and Dana Tarot, the first and fourth Friday of every month. Marianne Williamson's words are, today's women are living at the effect of a chronic trauma that infuses our modern world. Much of that trauma is centuries old, while much of it is a reflection of a very contemporary issue. Some of it emanates from realities in the outer world, while some of it emanates from within. It is the source of the deep unhappiness so many experience in our daily lives. We must address this and transform it so that all of us can take our part in a great and glorious revolution of consciousness that awaits us on the journey ahead. What women want is to live free from anxiety, free from financial pain, confidence in who they are, empowered, honored, and treated as sacred. And ladies, we have to act like it. Today's show is about a story of how one influential woman, an entrepreneur, a self-made business person, went from being married to living in the backseat of her car to being homeless. We're going to hear that story right now. Welcome to the show, Miss Chrissy D.
Hello, how are you?
Wonderful. How are you? This is your debut on the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Lady Boss, and Lady Boss is about leading edge entrepreneurs. So, Chrissy, tell us about that day, that time, that fated time. You have an incredible story. When I met you, I wanted to tell this story and get this story out. And I wanted you to be able to have a platform for you to be able to share that story. Tell us what happened that day.
Okay. So I'm going along my married life. And like most marriages, we had problems. But through it all, we loved each other. We had a family, two successful businesses, a beautiful home, and a pretty nice life. It's 2 days before Christmas, my favorite time of year. Decorations were up and the table was set for Christmas dinner. I took my son to basketball and out for some last minute shopping. We pulled in the driveway, the truck, motor running, facing the street with the passenger door open. His dad told him, get in. They argued for a minute because he didn't want to get in. He wanted to go inside and get changed now that he was home. His dad convinced him to hop in, and before he even shut his door, the dad sped down the driveway and down the street. I walked in the house and felt like I'd been kicked in the stomach. I couldn't breathe. Something was wrong. My heart was racing and everything was a blur. I looked around in a panic. The desk was gone from my office and everything was a mess on the floor. The dining room set was gone and everything was on the floor. I ran upstairs and found my son's passport was gone, along with money that we had raised for a charity that we were going to deliver the next day. I ran into my son's room, his suitcase, his clothes, his hoodies, his shoes, they were all gone. I didn't know what was happening. I called a friend to come over. My neighbors came over and told me there was trucks there earlier, packing everything up, and a locksmith was there changing my locks. As I walked around, I realized all the locks had been changed except the front door. If I'd have come home an hour later, I would have been locked out of my own home. 1 year later, I had lost almost everything I had worked for my whole life, including my kids. So here it is, 6 years later, and I have clawed myself out of the deepest, darkest hole I could ever imagine. Let me tell you, the man you marry is not the man you divorce. The things you think can't happen can. The law that I thought was there to protect me didn't, and it might not protect you either. And although my story is extreme and probably not something that would happen to most, I'm here to educate you, to protect yourself and everything that you've worked for, because life happens. We might not be able to control what other people do to us or situations that just happen, but we can control how prepared we are to take care of ourselves in those situations. And I'm here to help you be prepared so that no matter what happens, you're going to be okay. I'm here to help you get your pink on.
Oh, Chris, that's wonderful. That's a beautiful, very, very touching story. Every time I hear it, I've heard it now several times, and every time I hear it, I'm on the edge of my seat, and I cannot even imagine what you've gone through and what the last 6 years has been about for you. But we're going to, over the course of the next months, as you're telling your story and through the education and the conversations that we're going to have, we're going to discover all of the different things that you had to go through in order to, like you said, dig yourself out of the hole and begin a whole new life for yourself. And part of the story that we're telling today is to, like you said, not everybody might find themselves in this kind of a story, because I feel like this story was literally like the ultimate of betrayal. And as we go deeper into the story, we're going to find out more about that. But tell us right now first, what happened next after that day? What happened in the next few days after the story, after the event, the main event, I should say?
Yeah. You know what? It was an absolute blur. I remember I couldn't breathe. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't have a reference to what was going on. So I had no tools, no skills to deal with anything. My neighbors were watching us, wondering what was going on. I had to call the locksmith and say, and he said to me, "Oh, I was just at your house changing the locks. You owe me $2,000. I was in shock. I said, "I didn't give you permission to change my locks. You need to come and take them off so that I can lock up my house and be safe. I needed to know where my son was. At this point, I didn't know where he went. I have business overseas. I'm thinking money's gone, passport's gone, my son's gone, clothes are gone. Are they leaving the country?" My neighbors told me to call the police. Well, people like me don't call the police. It was absolutely a terrifying thing to even pick up the phone and call the police and say my son is missing.
Why do you say that people like you don't call the police? Like, what is that referring to? Like, why do you say that? Because you were living such an extraordinary, peaceful life, and that you had such a wonderful family that there would be no reason to call the police?
Miss Suburbia, you know, People used to say when they drove up my street, it was like Pleasantville. It was just this nice, normal life. We never did anything that we needed to call the police. Things like that just didn't happen to us.
Right. So we had to call the police.
Had to call the police and tell them my son's missing. Well, there's nothing they can do. He's with his dad. A crime hadn't been committed. But at this point, I know that something is very wrong. So they were very good. They called, they made contact, they went and talked to them. My son was brought back, but I was told maybe it's not a good idea to bring him in the house because everything was upside down. So he went to my neighbor's house, which was one of his buddies. And then the next few days was sheer terror. People were knocking on my door. Somebody was trying to serve me papers. People were standing at my driveway with hoodies on so I couldn't see who they were. We're absolutely terrified. And somebody is knocking on my door to serve me papers. And I don't know what to do. It's Christmas time. There's no lawyer's offices open. I am completely in the dark.
That's crazy. It's Christmas time. I mean, I'm just feeling this. It's like, oh my God. It's like you had no clue at all to what your husband was up to. And all of a sudden, the rug was pulled out from underneath you, and you did not know anything about it.
And I didn't know what to do. I felt like I was trapped. I felt like I was in a tornado, and I couldn't grab onto anything to stop the swirling. I was out of control.
That's crazy. So how old was your son?
13.
13. And so did you not call your husband? Did you not call your husband on his cell phone to ask him what's going on?
You know what? I don't even remember. Everything was such a blur. I don't know what happened, which is why I called my best friend to come over and help me. Because at that point, I have completely lost control of my whole life and don't know what to do. My house, my home, was always a sacred place. And everybody knew that. Everybody knew that no matter what happened, they could always come to my house and be safe. And now that wasn't the case anymore.
Wow. So that must have been such a huge shock for you. We're talking to my new co-host, Miss Chrissy D. We're going to take a break on the Cornelia Stephanie Show, and we're going to talk further when we come back how Chris went from being married to being homeless to coming back from this full circle. We'll be right back.
That moment when you realize you've mastered your wellness or that you will never fall off the roller coaster of life? Well, yeah, me either. But I still ride unicorns. I will teach you how to become a mindset master. You will learn how your habits and behavior affect the success of your nutrition and exercise, relationships, organization, and so much more. Motivation doesn't arrive in an email, so stop waiting for it. You have to take action, then motivation follows. I am Coach Peggy Wells. Get out of your comfort zone and recognize the simple truth. We aren't that special. We all have crap to deal with, and we all have a lot more in common than not. I want to spark you into action. We will learn, love, and laugh together. So join me every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific for Coach Couch and Coffee Radio, where you will learn that being happy and healthy is way more than carrot sticks and squats. I'll talk to you later.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Disease, one of the most dreaded words in our vocabulary. Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know traditionally we have viewed disease as a degenerative process? Disease is better understood when we view it as dis-ease in the human body. Dis-ease means without ease. Health is not merely the absence of disease. It's when every part of the body works together effortlessly, relaxed and at ease. It's that relaxed state that lets energy flow in waves through and around the entire body. Every organ has an electrical charge, and when overcharged or undercharged, dis-ease occurs. And it is an effort to go through our day. We are able to determine the exact dis-ease of the body and design a specific solution to correct the nutritional imbalance. Contact us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
It just blows me away how you go from married life to living in the backseat of a car to being homeless. All in within the blink of an eye, this took place when all of a sudden one day during Christmas time, you came home and the rug was pulled out from underneath you. Everything was disturbed in your household. So what happened, Chris, after you called your best friend and your best friend came over? Like, what happened in the next days as you were, what was going on around you?
So now I have to try and make things normal because I still have a child at home. So I need to take this trauma, put it aside, get through Christmas, and then get my son back to school and make sure that we're both okay. I realized.
Here you are. You realized.
There was no money in the bank. All the money was gone. My credit cards were all racked up. Overdrafts were cleaned out. I had no money, had no food. A lot of the food was gone from the fridge and the pantry. Like, we were in a really bad way. And on top of it, we ran a business out of our home. We ran a music school and studio. We've got close to 200 students that come weekly or bi-weekly, and I've got 5 teachers. And the equipment's gone, computer's gone, students are showing up, there's nobody to teach them, and I don't know what to say to them. And then I start getting emails from students saying, we were told by your husband that we had to pay upfront cash before Christmas to keep our spot after Christmas. I want my money back, or I want my lessons. I said, I don't have your money. I know nothing about this. I had emails and phone calls that added up to about $15,000 on top of everything else of money that had been collected. And the students and the parents were getting angry at me because I'm the one still in the house. They were coming to my door, banging on the door. They were actually running around my yard. I ended up having to chain the gates to keep people off my property because it was scaring me and my son.
Wow. So the people that were coming to collect for their services or goods, which they had paid for, you know, with your business, your husband's business, your and your husband's business as entrepreneurs, They were coming to collect their, and they didn't know what happened to you. They had no idea that you had just experienced the ultimate, I want to say, you were robbed. You were literally robbed. You were robbed. Everything was taken from you. Everything, your bank accounts, your furniture, your food, your children, everything was completely stolen from you. And the person that did it was your husband.
Yes. And on top of dealing with all of that, I'd go out in the morning to take my son to school and my tires were slashed or they were flat. There was always so much extra added that it just became impossible to even survive. I got up one morning, my neighbors saw me and they said, "Oh, you were up early." And I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, we were up at like 5 this morning and noticed your car was gone."
Oh.
Yeah. Always dealing with something.
Was the car gone?
It was there when I got up. It was back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had 3 flat tires in about a month. Like it wasn't enough stress in my driveway.
So who do you think did that? Just curious. Do you think that it was also your husband doing that?
I think it was very odd that had never happened in all the years we've been there. And then within a month, I've got a slashed tire, a flat tire. I'd go in my car and there'd be a guitar pick on the seat. Just things to let me know that he could be wherever he wanted to be, I guess.
It almost feels like he was letting you know that he's in control, that he's got the upper hand, and mm-hmm. that you are the victim. I think he was letting you know that he's bigger than you, he's better than you, and that he's in control, that he's watching you even when you don't even know. He's got his eye on you, and that there is no steps that you can take that he hasn't already covered.
Yes, and on top of that, you know, we lived at the top of a cul-de-sac. So to get to my home, you had to drive by everybody else's houses. And like I said, we lived in Pleasantville. All of our neighbors knew each other. I coached a lot of the kids. They all played together. We had barbecues. Now I'm having to drive by all the time. And now the neighbors are feeling a little bit protective. I would get calls going, your husband's truck is parked at the end of the street, just to let you know. Things like that. Wow. And it becomes very unnerving.
Yeah. So you were living, how big was your house? I'm just curious. Was it like 3,000 square feet, 4,000 square feet house?
Yeah, it was almost 4,000 square feet. And like I said, it was my dream house. I have been working since I was 14 years old. And I finally bought my dream house. And yeah, it was big. It was beautiful. I felt like I finally arrived. This was my spot in the world to always be safe and to always keep anybody else that needed to be safe as well.
Wow. So you have helped, you know, your husband over the years. The two of you built these businesses together. You helped him build these businesses, the music school and the other things that you were doing.
So he started the music school. I remember saying to my husband, because he's a very good musician, and I said, "We should start a school." And he thought I was nuts. I don't have any degrees. Who's going to come and take lessons from me? So I actually made handmade posters, and I walked around the neighborhoods and I taped them onto the mailboxes. And he came home from his job one day and I said, "You've got half an hour to get downstairs. You've got 5 students coming." He's like, "What?" I said, "Yeah, I booked 5 students for that night." And within about a 5-year period, like I said, we all had almost 200 students, most of them coming weekly.
Wow, that's incredible.
We built it up to 5 teachers. We taught everything from vocals to drums to guitar to piano.
Wow. So all of this was going on, you know, you built this incredible business with your husband, but throughout your relationship, the reason why this is so baffling, because you've told this story to me several times, and I just want to get this, you know, to the audience that you had no marital problems. You had no, your husband wasn't a cheater. He wasn't out cheating with other women. You had no clues whatsoever that that there was any unhappiness in the marriage?
Well, you know what? We were a normal couple. So we did have our struggles, and things had happened before, and he had, how do I put this? He had threatened before that he was going to leave and take everything. He just never followed through with it. We always work things out because we're a family. So it was always really important to me to work things out to keep moving forward. So there was things that had come up like any marriage.
Right.
But to think that this would happen.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. This doesn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, no. This the ultimate, you know, it's like I said when I met you, Chris, is that this is the ultimate betrayal story that I've heard. Is not only did you get robbed of your entire life, of everything that you've built, your marriage, you lost your marriage, you lost your children, you lost your money, you lost your home, you lost all of those things that you had worked for. You lost the prestige in the community of who you were as a couple. You lost so many different things in this, and that's why, and by someone that you loved, you know, and there was obviously no warning that this is going to happen. I'm leaving, and literally just left you. I mean, just like kicked to the curb, left you kicked to the curb. You know, it's like
a throwaway wife.
Yeah, just kind of like tossed you aside, like you have no value, like you didn't, you know, like you don't deserve any respect, you don't deserve any, you know, a complete devaluing. And so
that's
why I call this the ultimate betrayal, because it's like there was no decency, no thought about you whatsoever in all of this. And then the children, I mean, turning the mother against the children. So you not only did you have a son, and your son was 13 when that happened, but you also had two other children, right? But they were already grown.
Yes, I have two daughters that are, and they weren't in the house, no. But after he left, my other children, and I didn't talk for 2 years, and I didn't know why. I to this day, I don't know what they were told, what their beliefs are around what happened. I remember when we were going through the court trial, he would always say, when she locked me out of the matrimonial home. And finally, the judge spoke up and said, didn't you change the locks first? And he said, yes. She goes, well, then quit saying that. But he continued to say it anyway. It's part of the story from that side. So is that what my kids think? To this day, I don't know what their beliefs are around what happened.
Yeah, I mean.
And it's too scary. Nobody wants to talk about this. We've gone through hell. Nobody wants to bring that up. I just want to do whatever it takes to keep things smooth, because now I've learned the reality. You can lose your kids. You can lose everything. Kind of makes you walk on eggshells a little bit.
Yeah. This is an incredible story, what you've had to endure as a woman. And that's why we're telling this story today, everybody, for you to, if there's somebody out there that you know that is going through horrendous trauma and whatever, and part of let this story inspire you that that you can rise above it, that mm-hmm. you have the strength and inside of you to rise above it, and that there's people and support out there for you, and that you can do it. And that's part of the reason why we are sharing this story. We're going to take a break on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We'll be right back with Miss Chrissy D.
Have you ever heard of the 90-10 rule? It goes like this. 90% of the time, no one is thinking of you. 90% of the time, everyone's thinking about themselves. And if you think of it like that, it takes the weight off, because now you're not being judged. I'm Megan Edge. I'd love for you to join me on Playing on the Edge Radio, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Radio FM.
TheAngelLady.net.
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 TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790. 1-800-323-1790. Sue Storm.
Sue Storm.
TheAngelLady.net.
You said forever, you said always. Now you know, things have changed, and going back is not an option. It's sudden, devastating, and is like taking a leap of faith. Tune in to From Two to You, Thriving After Divorce Radio, as Sarah Luz, empowerment coach and spiritual mentor, reminds you to have faith in yourself. Tune in every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific and listen as Sarah encourages you to leave negative stories in the past and move forward. We all need a friend. When I do becomes I can't. Let Sarah help as life takes you in a new direction. Leave the guilt and doubt in the past, step into the spotlight, and show the world who you are. To find out more about Sarah Luz, visit saraluz.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek has a special gift for everyone out there. To receive 3 chapters of the Knowledge Book as a special gift, send your email to mmjp99@gmail.com. That's M as in Mary, jp99@gmail.com now to receive this fabulous, fabulous gift of the Knowledge Book.
We are back on the Cornelia Stephanie Show with Chrissy D here today, and we're talking about how do you go from the ultimate betrayal story? How do you recover from something like this and this horrendous trauma that happened in Chris's life when her family was ripped out from underneath her and she lost everything? How do you recover from something like that? So Chris, prior to the break, you were telling us that your tires were being slashed, or sometimes the tires were flat. We were talking about you just not feeling safe anymore. And then all of a sudden you got served. So yeah. Now you got served, and from where I'm sitting already right now, I'm actually seeing you as the victim. And it appears now that you're being served like you've done something wrong.
Yes. I learned a lot about the legal system, let me tell you.
Well, tell us.
It is not what you think, ladies. The legal system is not what you see on TV, and you are not innocent until proven guilty. That just is not, it's just not the way it works. I'm being served. I can't get a lawyer. I've got no money now. I don't know where anything is. And I was told that, I said, well, I'm just not going to go. I didn't do anything wrong. And I was told, if you have to show up at court, if somebody serves you, if you don't go, you're going to be presumed guilty and they will rule without you. So I'm now getting served on a regular basis. And I have to figure out the legal system. I have to, and it's not just figuring out the legal system. You have to have money for gas to even drive to court and to pay for parking. I didn't have any of that. So just more stress, more stress. You've got to go to the library. You've got to figure out what forms you need to respond. You need to figure out how to do affidavits. I'm getting affidavits that are like 50 and 100 pages of legal stuff from lawyers and staff. And now I have to compete with that. One of the things that's bizarre that I think women really need to know, his lawyer put a mortgage, not a lien, a mortgage on my house without my permission, without my knowledge. And it was there before I even knew he was leaving. So here's the real kicker. My equity is paying for his lawyer to come after me. And I can't get a lawyer, because my equity is tied up with another lawyer. How does that happen? So yeah. What happens is, where I live, you can sever the title and put a mortgage on your half. His lawyer wrote it so that it was put on the whole thing. And because it was e-transferred, Land Titles couldn't help me. It took me 10 months with the Bar Association to try and figure out how this mortgage got put on my house. 10 months of added stress on top of going to court whenever he served me. Whenever he wanted to serve me and bring something up, I had to jump and I had to figure out how to do it. And I had to still figure out how to take the time off. I've had to go out now and get 3 jobs to try and feed my child and keep the hydro on. And speaking of hydro, I got a text from him one night that said, oh, by the way, your hydro is getting cut off tomorrow.
What is the hydro?
Your power. Yes. Just one night out of the blue. By the way, your hydro is getting cut off.
Oh, tomorrow. Your power in your house?
Yes.
That's what's called hydro. I see. So yes. Your electricity, your power.
Yes. My lights, my heat. It's winter time. And he just hadn't paid the bill for months. And he didn't let me know that it wasn't. So I called hydro the next day and explained my situation. I got really lucky. I got a woman that was horrified by what I was telling her. And she looked at my past history and saw that I've had for 30, 40 years and I've never missed a payment. So she actually rehooked it up in my name, waived all the fees, and helped me keep the heat on for my son and I in the wintertime. There was always something. It was so overwhelming. It wasn't just, oh, he's left, I've got to figure out how to do this. Stuff was constantly piled on top.
I want you to get that. What do you?
I remember going to court one day. I'd probably been about 6 times at this point. And whoever starts the legal proceedings, the claimant, they're the ones in charge. They get to decide. They're always the ones that start it. So a judge looked at us, pointed to all the paperwork already on his desk and said to him, it's a good thing I won't be presiding over this, because this sure, you sure wouldn't get away with this in my courtroom.
Wow. Wow.
But again, what I learned is, and I wonder now if it was strategic, when you see judges before you go for your big trial, that judge is now excluded. You can't have him see over your case. So by the time we went to court, there was very few judges left that could see us.
Well, you know what? Based on the way how this case sounds, when you're saying you wonder if this was strategic, to me it feels like it was, because it seems like this was like a massive master plan that was literally all thought out of really literally tearing you down. And, you know, I mean, just there is just like, I just don't understand, you know, because it's not like you've done something wrong, or you were a horrible person, or you did something. How can someone do that? The consciousness, the heart, someone that, you know, gave you children. How can someone do that? I just don't understand that. And I can see, you know, the woman that turned your hydro back on, that turned your power back on, she turned it back on because she too is horrified by, you know, this happening to another woman. This is the reason why, you know, our planet is in some of the shambles that it is, because we need more women in charge, because women have solutions to problems. Women will help each other solve each other's problems and help solve the problems that are going on this planet. And that's why we need more women in power. We need more women in leadership. We need more women in voice, which is part of the reason why we're doing this show today, to inspire, to empower. Because yes. What we're not doing here is we're not at all bashing this guy at all, because that's not what this is about. It's just about you telling your story from your point of view. And the thing about it is that you didn't really have the support at all. It's almost like, you know, you were, and pardon me for saying this, Chris, you were the ultimate victim in this situation, because you were totally, you know, constantly being darts constantly being thrown at you. Mm-hmm. And you didn't have access to any kind of funding, any kind of support, anything. You were totally being slandered. It reminds me of Mary Magdalene, is what it reminds me of. You know, stones were being thrown at you left and right, and you had to fend for yourself. So through this whole experience, we know that you gained your power full on, and now you're helping other women claim their power and get their pink on, is what your slogan is. And we'll talk more about what get your pink on means. But the fact that you had to go through this horrendous trauma and this horrific experience, it could have happened where you didn't come back from this.
Yes. Yeah. I wonder sometimes how I did. If somebody had told me 6 years ago that it was going to take me 6 years to get back on my feet, I don't think I could have done it. Because it's just too hard.
Yeah. You know what? And I think that's the reason why a lot of times when we go through the trauma that we have to go through, we don't know. It's better not to know how long it's going to take us.
Yeah.
It's just better not to know what it's going to be. I think that's part of our, you know, even coming on Earth, coming to Earth, incarnating on Earth. Had we known ahead of time what we would be up against coming here, waking up to our true divine nature, waking up to our true power, had we known ahead of time, we would have probably said, oh, no, forget about it, you know, because we're humans. We're also humans, and we like our comfort, and we like, you know, we like things, you know, organized and comfortable. And, yes. You know, growing outside of our comfort zone throughout this incredible amount of trauma and pain and anxiety and all of that. But like I said, it could have been possible that you did not recover from this.
Yes. I remember the day that I moved out of my house, and I remember how all of that transpired, and I was so low. 3 days before I had to leave my home, that when I bought it, it was my house. I added his name to my house. If I hadn't done that, none of this could have happened. He couldn't have put a mortgage on it and used my equity against me. I went to...
Wait a minute. This is so huge. Okay. You bought this house. This was your house. And so many women have done this. So many women have done this because I remember a time not buying, but certainly in rent, having done it in rent, added on the guy's name. And he wasn't even my husband. He was my boyfriend, but added on his name and gave him everything. So I remember having an experience like that, but certainly not purchased a house. And now I'm going to add his name on my husband's name. No. And then he turned it around and completely used this whole experience against you and used the equity against you and just watched you just completely squander.
And I added his name to my credit cards as well. I remember when we were in the lawyer's office, we were remortgaging. And he said to me, "Will you put my name on the house?" And in front of the lawyer. I look back at it now and I think it was probably planned because the lawyer just happened to have paperwork
there. Another strategy.
And I remember at the time not wanting to do it. And this is a terrible thing. I didn't want to look like a bitch in front of other people. I felt like I was cornered and didn't have a choice. And I just want to tell women that don't worry about it. Don't worry about looking like a bitch. Love has nothing to do with somebody else's name needs to be on what you've worked so hard for. The mortgage company, they were so good to me. They're like, "You've had a mortgage forever. You've owned a dozen houses. We're going to forgive the payments that you haven't made. We're going to tack it onto the back. We're going to let you keep the house." I had a big suite in the basement that my son and I could live in. I could rent the rest of my house out for enough money to pay the mortgage, to keep the lights on, to pay the taxes, no problem. Next thing you know, I was being served. And I was ordered by the court to sell my house. It went into foreclosure and they took it away.
Oh my God, this is...
Even after the mortgage company said, "I can keep it," he still went to court and made sure I lost it. I even had somebody that was willing to buy him out and he didn't want it.
What do you think the motive was behind this energy? I mean, we're speculating here because, you know, but I mean, honestly, Chris, I mean, what was it that made you do this?
One of our mutual friends, his and mine, a man, said, I was very lucky. Things were so traumatic that people started to rally around me, including a lot of his friends. They were horrified. It was that bad. And one of his friends said to me, "He has to make it look like you're nothing without him. But don't worry. We all know how hard you worked to build the business and to make you guys so successful." Yeah. So that's his buddy. He needs to make you look like you're nothing without him.
Yeah, that I understand. That part I understand. But if he had it so good with you, again, you know, what I'm getting, this was a karmic contract between the two of you. And on a karmic level, you two were playing out this experience. And that's the only explanation that seems to make any kind of sense about why would somebody do that and be the most fucking ridiculous, excuse me, person. Sorry. It has to be so stinking ridiculous. You know, it has to be a karmic situation because it's so toxic. It's so ridiculous. that there's no other explanation for it, especially because you hadn't done anything to give him any kind of, you hadn't done anything wrong. You were a good wife. You were a good mother. You were an entrepreneur. You gave him everything. Maybe that was the reason, because you gave him so much that you gave him so much, you know. I don't know, but I really feel like this was karmic.
Well, good. I'm glad it's over and I don't have to do that again.
Yeah. So that's what happened, Chris, is that you had to give up the house. And is that how you ended up sleeping in the backseat of your car?
Yes. I actually, 3 days before I had to leave my house, I had nowhere to go. And my son was such a trooper. He's like, don't worry, Mom. If we have to sleep under a bush, I'll come and do it with you. That became like a little joke. But yes, then a couple days before, I received a text that was from my son's phone, but it looked like it definitely wasn't his words, saying how this isn't his responsibility. And he was going to go live with his dad, and fair enough, he needed somewhere to live. Absolutely. I wasn't going to go sleep under a bush. I actually met a lady out at karaoke one night, and she had just bought a townhouse, an older lady. And she said, I've got a couple of spare rooms. You can come and stay with me.
Yeah. Those were the angels that were angels that were being sent, that were supporting you along the way. And you had many angels that came along that were being sent along the way, whether you slept on someone's couch or whether you know,
I've slept on floors, I've slept on couches. And yes, in between, when I had nowhere to go, I was sleeping in my car in the Walmart parking lot.
You know, this is just extraordinary how you've overcome this, because it's been 6 years. And, you know, there's still so much to say about this story, but truly we've been talking now for almost an hour and we just have a couple minutes. I want to tell the audience a few things. Please, first of all, come back and listen to the second part of this story, which is going to be the first Friday of the month in June. That's the one thing. And then the other thing I would like you all to do, please, is go to my YouTube channel, Cornelia Stephanie YouTube, where this story will be. And it would be great if you all can respond underneath the YouTube and tell us what touched you about this story. Engage with us and tell us about what this meant to you when you heard this. And in exchange for doing that, I would love to send you a free course that is about how to embody a high self-worth. And you can email me at radio@corneliastephanie.com. And it's a 7-day course. It's a 7-day audio e-course that I will be happy to give you for free for supporting us this way. Like, share, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. And help us get this message out there so that other women who are possibly finding themselves in a traumatic karmic clearing, karmic cleansing, that they don't give up and commit suicide or do something that would make them act on their emotions because they don't see a way out. Because sometimes that also happens. And suicide right now is a huge epidemic, especially for women. And we need to have a national conversation around this, because so many women are really going through horrendous traumatic experiences, and that's the reason why we're telling this story. So Chrissy D, I want to thank you so much for coming on today and telling this story, and we're going to continue, because next month we're going to talk about how you are now helping other women. You're now working in a homeless shelter, and how you are helping other women and other people, and also what your next venture is going to be with this show, and that is Get Your Pink On. So what would you like to say just to wrap up the show? We have a minute and a half, Chrissy. What would you like to say to wrap it up?
I'm sharing my story because I want to empower women. I want them to understand their value and everything that they've worked for. I want women to be able to protect the roof over their head and the credit that they have earned and everything that's important to them. It's important that we protect it and that nobody can take that away from us. I remember people saying to me, oh, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I used to say, it is killing me. It's just taking too long. And you know what? It's okay. We can get through it. And we need to learn that we're valuable and we deserve a roof over our head and everything else that we've worked for.
Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. Thank you, Miss Chrissy D. We'll see you again next month on the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Lady Boss. See you then.
You've been listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Lady Boss, Women Inspiring Women, featuring leading edge entrepreneurs who are putting the focus on empathic leadership in today's modern day world. Text the word Cornelia to the number 22828 and receive her weekly newsletters. For more information on Cornelia Stephanie and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.